Like to read a couple of verses from God's word. If you have Bible, please turn with me to Psalms 126, verse 5 and 6. Psalms 126, verse 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. May the Lord add more blessing. This is the psalm of a degree, psalm of degree. And after the exile, they came and they sing this song, seeing how wonderfully God just brought them. But I'd like to just take these two verses, just applying to the weeping and reaping. Sowing, weeping, the sowing and weeping, then there comes the reaping over there. So the title of my message will be Weeping and Reaping. Is that a praise? Are we prepared or to pay for winning souls? That's what that the question comes today. Are we prepared to weep over the lost? Around a few years back, around 15 years back, I was in Ohio preaching in a church, their 75th anniversary. And this pastor knew how I got saved and who God used that. So he called me the same day. He called Dr. Kenoyer also and his wife. And he's the one who actually gave the gospel to me. He's with the Lord now. His wife's still living. And then she came and told me, "Jesus, I know that when you came to our hospital, you were so troublesome, made miserable our life. But my husband never gave up. He prayed for your soul over 18 months. I always think about who is an American coming to India, a dying Hindu, lost Hindu on the Broadway to lead her to eternal destruction. Why he has to consent for my soul? He was giving the word and watering with tears that the Lord may save me. Lost, maybe are we prepared to just weep over our souls? Maybe lost children, lost siblings, maybe parents, grandchildren. They all have souls. They need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember when I got saved, my parents were so upset and furious, angry. I'm dead to the family. But one thing I could do, pray and plead, beg God to save my father and mother, and continually prayer. Over 16 years later, they both come to know the Lord Jesus. Are we prepared? Maybe as this message is, you hear that, maybe God's Holy Spirit may put some individuals in your heart, giving the word and pray for that soul, that the Lord may save that soul. In our society in which we live, weeping is considered too emotional. But certainly we need to aware of people, those who are lost. We need to be aware of the shallow emotions, but aware of the souls that are lost, and pray over them. Some people say that Jesus shed his blood for your salvation and you are saved. Can you not shed your tears and sow the seed so people may come to know Christ? A kind of thought that's shedding tears. Even Jesus himself, talk about his ministry in the Hebrews chapter 5, talking about this in his earthly ministry, chapter 5, verse 7, the word of God says that, talking and describing his ministry here, chapter 5, verse 7, who in the days of flesh, talking about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he had offered a prayer and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. In our Savior's ministry also, a kind of strong crying with tears. a savior. I remember that when we start the ministry, we are trying every effort so that people are not coming, and a meager result was coming. Start getting together and praying and pleading. Years ago, there was a young minister. He tried his level best to winning souls, and he began to just try very hard, and a meager result. He was so disappointed, discouraged, and one day he just, his hand fell upon a small booklet of the life story of Murray McShane, from Robert Murray McShane from Dundee, Scotland. And it was his story, stirred him up his soul. He wanted to go and visit Dundee, where Pastor McShane was pastoring many years back. And at that time, there was a great revival took place there. People been saved, and the Holy Spirit was so convicted, and people been saved, bar were closed, and that revival began to spread all across Scotland, from there to into the mainland, the UK, and a long-lasting result. So this young minister wanted to go there and visit. When I was studying, I always wanted to go and visit that place, because I read his story also anyway. So this minister, he took the challenge, he went to Dundee. And he was just waiting outside, and he saw an elderly man coming up and opening the door. So he just walked to him and asked him that, I'm just come to see you here. Do you remember anything of your previous pastor, Murray McShane? He said, yeah, you want to hear that? I'm the old sexton of this church. Why don't you come in? So just the same minister being invited inside, so that the older gentleman took him inside the church, and beside the pulpit there was a small vestry. He said, that was a small room my pastor spent his prayer and the study time there. And he said, why don't you come in? So just the young minister walked in, and he went inside and pointed out there's a chair and a table. There what my pastor sit there. And this young man was asked, do you like to go and sit there? This young man obeyed and went and sat on the chair. Then he said, why don't you put your elbow on the table? He put the elbow on the table. Then he said, why don't you place your face on your hand? He placed it. That's what my pastor is sitting there. Then I can see two streams of tears flowing from him. Let the tears flow. Murray McShane served maybe 2 or 3 years, maybe 4 years most. He died when he was 30 or 31. And God used him mightily. Took place in the great revival. People being saved. The minister got the message, and he went back. He began to just to cry out to God for souls. God is interest upon souls. That's the very purpose the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world. He's the lover of soul. I often think about, we have ministry going on that, but there are people, when we see that, we could not sit back and relax on our accomplishment, lean upon those comfort, rather than looking forward, people, those who are just going to lost eternity. Young children, boys and girls, young people, and mothers and fathers, and they all need the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe in your family circle has just got, putting somebody in your heart today, giving the word at the same time, praying and asking the Lord to save them. Even our Lord himself, as you see in the New Testament, at least 3 times, he wept for the souls. Our Savior. You see, one time as he was standing before the tomb of Lazarus, his friend, who had died, and he was just in the place of the tomb. He was moved and he came. His relatives were just, you can see Mary, Martha, and their relatives, and everybody was there and moved with compassion. And here my Savior saw this, what sin has brought his creation. He just wept there. He knew that he's going to raise this rotten man who is rotting already in the tomb. He's knowing that he's going to do the miracle to bring him to life, but he's wept over there, wept for the soul. And from there he moved with compassion, called Lazarus, come out. I'm so thankful he called Lazarus, come out. If my Savior would have said, come out, all the people from the day of Adam would have come out from the graves. But he said, Lazarus, come out. He came, he wept for him. In a sense, we are all in debt and trespass and sins. Maybe someone over here not saved. The Bible says we are all dead in trespass and sin. Jesus, weep over your soul. He wants to raise you from that condition. Jesus wept for individually for you. The second time you can see Jesus wept for a nation. As he was walking on the heights of Jerusalem, looking down to Jerusalem, he wept over Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, with tears. Weeping for a nation. Even today we think about our Savior, even think about the United States. This country been found in the foundation of God's word, but we just walked away from that. It's no more a Christian country, but few Christians living. We need to pray for this country. And Jesus, because souls need to be saved. Our Savior looked down to Jerusalem, and he began to see that this rebellious nation constantly and continually reject the word of God, walked away from his truth, and knowing that the catastrophe and the future judgment which is going to come upon Jerusalem, my Savior wept over the country. But they did not hearken. Thirdly, our Savior wept once again for the world. You remember that? He went to that, before he went to the cross of Calvary, he took his Peter, John, James to the Garden of Gethsemane, asked them to tarry and pray, and he went further and just wept before God. He wept over the world in Gethsemane. You can see that as he was weeping before God, the tears mingled with the blood rolled down and coming down with agony and with so much of pain. He wept and prayed for the lost souls of this world. Said, Father, if it is thy will, let this cup pass away from me. Our Savior is not afraid of crucifixion. He knew that that will be so painful physically and emotionally and mentally. He knew that the Roman soldiers are not going to show any mercy to him. The hands, those being touched by Jesus Christ and those being just benefited by the act of Jesus while he was in the world, no eye is going to show mercy upon him. And that cross, he knew that. He knew these people are going to capture him and slap on his face and going to pull out his beard, spat on his face, and they are going to just cruelly crucify him on that cross, and no mercy will be shown to him. He knew that. They put in a crown of thorn on him, defamed him, and made him so much ridiculed and challenged him even just on that agony. He knew that they are going to challenge him to come out from the cross. He knew that he has to endure that painful death. He was not afraid of that crucifixion. He was not praying that cup. But there is something beyond that, that you and I need to think about that. In that cross, to accomplish yours and my salvation, he has to take our sin upon him, that he became a sacrifice for me. How graciously, carefully our Savior did that. I often think about, who is Jesus? Is God himself. God manifested in the flesh. We called him Jesus. God born as a baby. And from there he became a young child. Became a teenager. Young man. From there he went into public ministry. every day as he lived in this earth. Of course, he just know that always he thought about you and me. But as he lived this world, as a young child, as a teenager, or as a human, as a young man, every day he lived with the conscience that he is going to be a sacrifice for your sin and my sin. One simple mistake could disqualify him to be my Savior. Every day he lived. Because that's the only possible way men and women can get saved. That's the only possible way your sins can be forgiven. That's the only possible way you can be purchased with his precious blood. That's the only way that human being, the lost human being, can have a source wherein which they can find eternal life. My Savior lived every day the conscience that he is going to be my sacrifice. I cannot understand the fathom and depth of God's love for you and me. Could you imagine the holy God who hates sin became my sin? Took your sin and my sin upon him. The Father in heaven has to turn his face away because that's full of sin. He was praying for that cup. Even he was willing to go to that extent. Then only you and I can be redeemed from all the penalty of sin, even the sin that we might be able to have a home in heaven. What a wonderful Savior we have, the Lord Jesus. Could you find anyone in this world apart from him like that? That's the simple gospel. Who just paid his own life can only save people from their sin. Jesus wept that night, even remembering you. Maybe some individual today do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let me tell you, my Savior took that agony for your salvation, for redeeming from your sin. He did that. As you see over here, he just shed his blood over there. Before that, he prayed with tears and mingled with the blood rolling down. In the agony, he knew that what he's going to face, but still he went on that cross and became my sin. And physically he was crucified, shed his blood, died. Thank God he was buried, but third day he's risen from the dead. He's the only qualified Savior for a lost human being in this world. That is Jesus Christ. And the word of God here says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. So doubtlessly, if the word of God says that seed, that the word of God, we have to sow, because the seed has got power. The seed has got life. The word of God is the only thing that can convert people. We need to give gospel. The problem today, we try to confuse the world, try to just bring so much of attachment to the gospel. The simple gospel is the only way that people can get saved. What is that gospel? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down to this world, lived in this world as a perfect life. He died on the cross of Calvary for your sin and my sin. He was buried and risen from the dead. If anyone put their trust, they shall be saved. A simple word. But we try to, so people sometimes ask me, what do you use for Hindus? What do you use for Muslims? What do you use for this thing? Only one thing I always, the word of God. Word of God has got power. Word of God convert people. The word of God just has life. The word of God just bring conviction. The word of God just bring making sure that you are sinner and you just begin to see the judgment and you come to realize Jesus Christ, the only living Savior, giving the word. The word has got, the seed has got the power and life, and in time, as I often say, we send out the 60 teams this year with thousands of people we reached out. Before they go, after they come back, I ask them, has the seed been sowed? Come back and water with tears in time. God is the one going to bring the life. How often we misunderstand. We saved many people. Nobody can save anybody else. Only God saves people. We are the only tools to give the word of God. And water with tears in time. God promised over here, the word of God says, verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. God never promised that to wherever and to whom you are giving the gospel, all of them are going to get saved. But surely he promised there will be harvest. There will be harvest. He is the one just working with that word. That word itself has got life and has got power. As we water with tears and praying and pleading, God, God of mercy, may just make that that word may bring life into that lost souls. What a wonderful Savior we have in the Lord Jesus. It is, sometimes we just try to just give the word and walk the way. No, friends, and we need to have that concern. No wonder Paul says, I have travailed that Christ may abide in you. We must have that agony. People have souls. Their souls are lost. If they don't have Jesus, no matter what you talk about, what kind of just argument people make it, if they don't have Jesus, plain verse says, 1 John chapter 5, that he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not a Son shall not see life. So maybe some individual in your home, maybe a grandchild, maybe a sibling, maybe husband or wife, maybe parents or grandchildren, maybe grandparents, they may have everything. You are trying your best to give the gospel. Keep giving. And watering with tears. In time, God will bring. The success of ministry, our Christian life, is not how many souls you are won for the Lord. The success is that how many seed you are planting. God in his time. This doctor put the seed, 18 months, took time, and watered with, never gave me up. In time, God saved. God is still saving people. God bless you.